The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. During this last week, we've seen some good and we've seen a lot of bad coming out of the Supreme Court. We saw Obamacare upheld by the Supreme Court. And before we go around putting the blame on the Supreme Court, let's talk about where that blame really belongs. As far as I'm concerned, that blame belongs squarely in the hands of the Republican Congress, because they had every single opportunity to completely defund Obamacare. They had every possible chance to make that entire debacle not happen. They had every chance to give free health care back to the people, real health care freedom. They had every chance to make sure that American health care became better and lower cost, and they didn't. And let me tell you something, more and more people are realizing that they could have and didn't, and more of those people are joining the Libertarian Party. Instead of doing that, instead of getting more laws out of healthcare, instead of getting rid of Obamacare, this week we saw an expansion. We saw the TPP. And while libertarians are always in favor of real free trade, this isn't free trade. This is corporatism masquerading as free trade. What do we see in this bill? We see all kinds of provisions to make sure that drugs, that pharmaceuticals cost just as much everywhere else in the world as they do over here, so that maybe soon everywhere else in the world will be begging America for subsidies to pay for their health care, just like people are here. Now, if instead of doing that, if we did real free trade, if we removed the border protectionism that exists right now for those pharmaceutical pharmaceutical products, you know what we'd have? We'd have lower cost medicines tomorrow. If we gave drug companies no other choice, if we said, listen, drug companies, you're not going to get one more cent out of the government, or you're not going to get one more cent from the taxpayer. You have two choices: lower your prices or go out of business. If we did that, I guarantee you tomorrow we would have lower prices. But instead, we just have a bill that now continues to enable drug companies to charge exorbitant rates and have those rates paid for by the taxpayer. You know, we're not by any means opposed to a truly private company charging whatever they want for healthcare. But if you're expecting that money to come from the taxpayer, well, that's a whole different story. With me right now, I have Charles O'Shea. He serves as the Tangipahoa Parish Executive Committee, and he also serves as the Tangipahoa representative to the Libertarian Party of Louisiana's State Central Committee. In 2014, he ran for U.S. Congress in District 5 to give people the opportunity to vote for a Libertarian, as well as to create awareness about the Libertarian Party and a platform. And he's just announced his candidacy for District 86 rep in the Louisiana House of Representatives, and he's running to win. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Arvin. It's nice to be here.
You know, I know that you guys have been doing some amazing legislative work already, and we're not saying right now you haven't even yet been elected, and you've already been working on making laws better for people in Louisiana. Let's talk about some of those things. What did you guys do with respect to medical marijuana in Louisiana?
Well, we have started last year. We got in late on the game last year. We were able to make some thought games in suppressing mandatory identification cards that would, you know, allow the government to track people through identification system.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we worked on, we have had medical marijuana legalized in the state of Louisiana since 1991, but legislature, in their wisdom, didn't enable the pharmacies to dispense the product to the patients. So, essentially, in the past 24 years, we have been without medical marijuana access. This year, with the help of various coalitions from the Legalized Cannabis Coalition and our Libertarian Party, we were able to push through a bill that would allow for a dispensary mechanism to get medical marijuana to the patients.
So let me make sure I'm understanding this right. So what you're saying is, in the past, although medical marijuana was legal, it was illegal for pharmacies to actually dispense the medical marijuana. So it was, for all practical purposes, functionally illegal in this highly manipulated, just ridiculous shenanigan, for lack of a better
term. Oh, yeah. And but we were able to persevere, and this year, with the help of the legislator who wrote the legislature, Senator Fred Mills, we were able to help push this legislation through the legislature, and we're very proud of that accomplishment. In a deeply red southern conservative state, we were able to get medical marijuana to patients who need it. So,
and I mean, this is just common sense. I mean, however you feel about drug use, most people in the country, most people in the world, are in favor of allowing people to have medicine for an illness. And the fact that so many states, usually, and so many legislators, usually backed by either the alcohol lobby or the prison guard lobby or some other lobby, have made it impossible for people to get legitimate just medicine is outlandish. Now, of course, if we want to see the real benefits of this kind of legalization, we need a complete legalization of all marijuana so that the whole current black market trade, this violent black market trade of marijuana, can be a thing of the past and it can be sold safely and securely, just like alcohol is today.
Here in Louisiana, we face a backlash from a number of different organizations. One is the Louisiana Sheriff's Association and the District Attorney's Association, who profit from the high incarceration rates we have here for nonviolent offenses. And that battle is an ongoing battle with every legislative session. It seems like we have to scratch and claw to get any concessions from the legislature, because from my experiences with the Louisiana legislature, a lot of them just rubber stamp basically what the Sheriff's Association and the District Attorney's Association want. But we were able to persevere, and through sheer numbers of patients who came up to the legislature and sat in those committees, and my hat goes off to them, because some of them had some pretty debilitating illnesses, and we were able to get them some relief this year, and we're going to keep pushing for next year. We've got plans going on for next year to widen more of the access to the patients.
Now, what we see from a lot of politicians around the country is something like this. People are saying, listen, if you vote for me, then maybe I'm going to think about doing some of these basically libertarian ideas, whether it's legalizing marijuana or you know, fighting traffic cameras or whatever, maybe I'll do it. But with you, we don't have to see what you will do. And that's a big difference between like the libertarians who are working to cut government, to downsize government, to make people more free, and the Democrats and Republicans that are pretending that they're going to maybe one day at some far distant day do something about it. And that difference is, this is something you're already doing. What are you going to do when you get elected? I assume more of the same. But let me ask you this question right now, point blank.
Okay.
If you are elected, will you do whatever you can, whether it's sponsoring a bill or co-sponsoring a bill or voting or advocating, to legalize marijuana in Louisiana?
Absolutely. I've told all the groups that I speak to, I speak to plenty of marijuana legalization movements across the state, and I will definitely push for legalization fully across the state, using any means within the power of my office gives me to do that, because I believe that the main engine that drives the police state is the illegal and immoral war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It controls so much of the excess of government power. It controls, you know, the freedom of illegal searches and seizures. It controls the rights of assembly. It's far reaching in its effects on general liberty. And if we could just get a handle on that one issue, we could alleviate a lot of government abuse of citizens' liberty. So,
and that's a really important thing. I mean, this idea that ending the war on drugs isn't just for people who do a lot of drugs. It's for people who want to have any of their civil liberties, who want to pay lower taxes, who want to have more safety because there's not violence going on all over the place because of an artificially created black market. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're saying that no matter who you are, no matter who on earth you are going to be benefited by ending the war on drugs. And I think you say it exactly right there.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, like I said, it's the engine that drives the police state. It's the engine that pays for these road, you know, these overtime usage of police forces on road checkpoints. It's, you know, it supplies the machine with the revenue to generate more abuse. We take away the issue from them, and basically they have to deal within the scope of the constitutional approaches to government that we want.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more about that right after this break. But right here, Chuck Schultz, Charles Soche, this is exactly what we need to have. I think we need to have 1,000 people doing exactly what you're doing. And the thing is, we can have 1,000 people doing what you're doing. We can have more than 1,000 people doing what you're doing. Right now, we have you're out there, and you're already working to downsize government. And more importantly, you're running for office to force the other parties to either downsize government themselves or get out of the way so that we can do it. Now, but here's what I want to say, and I know that you're going to back me up on this. You know, you don't need to be like a lawyer, a political scientist. You don't need to be some kind of be a Kennedy to run for office. All you need is a dedication to downsizing government, and you will be an excellent candidate. And if you're just willing to make that first step, you don't have to run for office. The first step, just get involved in your state party. And that means go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in the libertarian campaign in your states. Right now, we're talking with Chuck Soche. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, on Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back.
A
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time. The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick-and-mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and, of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Adoption changes a family forever, for the adopters as well as the adoptees. There are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety, with a weekly replay on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. In the last segment, Charles Socher laid out the fundamental truth about the war on drugs. And it's a nice parallel. We already know that the violent cartels, both in Mexico and in America, the violent cartels and the violent gangs rely on the revenue from drugs in order to fund their violence. We already know that if there were no war on drugs, that if there was no huge black market profits for selling drugs, that those cartels would go out of business. We know that they wouldn't have the money to buy bullets. But what Charles explained in the last segment is that there's a whole other level of that, which is that the bullies and gangs and cartels in government, the people that find every excuse they can to stomp on our civil rights, the people who invade our houses at 3 a.m. for no reason, the people that find excuses to curtail our basic information privacy rights, those people rely on the revenue of the war on drugs as well. And that if we took away the war on drugs, if we said there is no more war on drugs, people like that would no longer have the finances to back this engine of the abuse of individual freedom. Carl, there's so many other ways that the government tries to finance its abuses of freedom, both at home and abroad. I mean, spying on American citizens costs a lot of money, and bombing people in other countries, that also costs a lot of money, and that requires funding from somewhere. One of the things that you guys worked on is shutting down another source of gray area revenue for the government, which is traffic cameras. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, this year we were successful in stopping traffic surveillance bill within Louisiana, the state. And basically, the bill had passed the legislature, except we were able to find out that they had rushed the bill through at the last minute on the last day of the legislature, and it had discrepancies contradictory amendments from the House version and the Senate version.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to get to start up a phone and email campaign to the governor, and we were able to influence him enough to where he vetoed the bill. So there will be no traffic cameras collecting data of Louisiana citizens on Louisiana roads.
And those of you like me live in a state that is just covered with those traffic surveillance cameras.
Right.
You know what a major contribution to individual freedom that is.
Yes, and it's an intimidating factor to keep people from traveling. And but beyond that, it's a revenue. It's purely for a revenue generation for the state. There's no scientific basis that it is a safety issue. So we, and the Libertarian Party of Louisiana, joined together, and we fought this bill, and we were able to defeat it. So I'm very happy for our successes, and we're going to keep working. We're going to keep adding more. We want to make Louisiana the freest state in the union, and that's what our goals are. And we're going to work towards that end, and we're not going to stop. So we're going to keep registering more Libertarian voters. We're going to keep pushing more Libertarian candidates, and we're going to grow this party. We're happy where we're at. We've gone exponentially in the past 2 years that I've been involved with the Louisiana Libertarian Party. And I'm very happy with our success in it. We owe a large part of it to our former state executive director, Wendy Adams, who performed brilliantly. I mean, I'm very happy with our success, and I'm ready for bigger and better things.
Now, one of the really interesting dilemmas that, well, I don't think it's a dilemma for any reasonable person, but it seems to be a dilemma for a lot of legislators. You know, since essentially all of recent human history, you get raw milk, you pasteurize it at home. And today, many people who are really into health, who are, you know, all paleo and vegan, and they really want to have the healthiest lifestyle possible, believe that
right.
They want to do the same thing. They want to get raw milk, pasteurize it at home. And pasteurizing, honestly, not the most complicated thing in the world to do. It's basically boil the milk for a few minutes.
Right.
Now, strangely, this is something that's illegal in many – I mean, it's illegal. It's illegal here in Maryland. It was made illegal in Virginia. I mean, it's – and that's something that you guys have been working on. How is that fight coming along?
Well, last year we had some success. We got the bill sent to the legislature, and it didn't pass. We got no movement. This year we got a little bit of movement from the Senate committee where we first heard it. But what I noticed when we push forward with this bill, the opposition mainly comes from big money dairy interest. And most of the time, people like that don't like competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the main reason why I believe that their opposition is so strong to this bill. Because basically, it's a human freedom issue. You know, some people prefer raw milk. Some people prefer pasteurized milk. But when one industry controls the production, you have it to where they don't want to give up that control, mainly because it's, like I said, a competition issue, which is another reason why I would like to run. I mean, I believe that instead of most politicians saying we need a job creation program, we need a business creation program where people create businesses and bring forth an atmosphere where entrepreneurs can drive the economic engine of the country. That's how this country got the wealth that it did. It's free market competition, and when you go into the legislature for the raw milk, as an example, a lot of the people who have already crossed the drawbridge want to bring it up. You know what I mean?
And that right there is just an analogy, and not just an analogy. I mean, that's something that we're seeing happening in so many different industries. I mean, we see that happening in healthcare, where the American Medical Association uses the government to prevent people who are trained medical practitioners from England, Japan, Korea, Germany. And we're talking about developed countries over here. And we're saying that the doctors from that country can't practice medicine in America for the exact same reason that the companies like the organizations like the AMA, they don't want the competition. We're seeing the same thing as you're saying with the milk industry. The milk industry doesn't want the competition. And I get why they don't want the competition. I understand, and they have every right to not want the competition. But I'll tell you this, they have absolutely no right to manipulate the legislature to give them unfair benefits. That is not American. That is not freedom. That is not democracy. That's not fair, and it's not right. And I'm so happy that we have people like you who are fighting that and fighting it tooth and nail and will continue fighting until it's completely changed.
Absolutely.
Charles, if somebody wants to find out more about you, if they want to follow your campaign, where do they go?
Well, they can contact me directly. I'm on Facebook. I'm setting up my campaign webpage, but they can look on Facebook and just friend me. Chuck Socher, S-A-U-C-I-E-R. And we're going to be making some announcements pretty soon. I'm going to have my webpage up, and we're going to be campaigning really hard for these next few months going into the October elections.
Absolutely. Well, Charles, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you, Arvin. I appreciate your time.
Now, folks, Charles is busy. He is working hard every single day to bring freedom and liberty to the people of Louisiana, and through using Louisiana as an example, bring freedom and liberty to the people all over the world and certainly all over the country. But he can't do this all by himself. No one person can possibly fight all these corporate interests and all these political interests. He's going to need your help. And if you're ready to help people like Charles get into office, if you're willing to help people like Charles put more pressure on the other political parties so that they either cannot grow government or, even better, are forced to shrink government, then you need to get to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. You might work on social media. You might go door to door. You might work at fairs and outreach, gun shows and pride festivals. In fact, you might even decide to run for office to make the single biggest contribution that you possibly can to the cause of freedom. But that first step is up to you. Go to lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Museums are great places to work and wonderful places to visit. But are they essential? How can we improve our museum practice so that museums remain vital and essential players in society? Listen for Museum Life with host Carol Bossert, where each week we'll discuss timely and topical issues of concern to the museum community. Museum Life can be heard live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace to speak at a glance, without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. This week, there have been some of the most important Supreme Court decisions in recent history. And some of those have been good and some of them have been bad. One of the really interesting ones is the change in the right to marry, the right of people of any gender to marry people of any gender. Now, I think that's a good first step. I think it's a good first step to say that if we're going to have restrictions on marriage, then those restrictions should be applied equally to everybody. But I'm not sure that I really agree with that first half. I'm not sure that we really need to have any restrictions on marriage at all. I don't think that we need to have the government involved in marriage in the first place. I don't think there's any benefit from it. All I see it is a slight nuisance, an annoying cost. It's not something that's done terribly well. For example, let's say we look at marriage just as a contract. Forget the only aspect of marriage that even vaguely seems to be on the same general planet as the government is the contract aspect. Everything else is religious, and that involves churches, or is entirely personal, and that only involves the people who are getting married. But the contract aspect of it, as far as establishing a contract, marriage has been an unmitigated train wreck for the last decades. And I'm not simply referring to the fact that it doesn't work half the time. You know, sometimes things don't work half the time. That's okay. Because the other half the time, they do work. Many of our most important medications only have a 50% success rate, but that's better than a 0% success rate. What I'm specifically referring to is purely as a contract, when it doesn't work that 50% of the time, marriage turns into a legal and financial catastrophe. And that's because just like the government is bad at education, just like it's bad at choosing how to spend its resources, and that it chooses to spend its resources, by which I mean, of course, our resources, on its ridiculous war on drugs or its unnecessary foreign wars, just like the government is incapable of figuring out what foods are okay and which foods are not, which is why it gives FDA approval to things like Cheetos and doesn't allow approval of things like raw milk, just like the government can't do anything, any of those things even close to right, it also can't do marriage right. It can't do a contract right. Because when things go south, as they often do, it completely falls apart. And so that in order to get any kind of a functional marriage nowadays, many people, for the purely legal contractual parts of it, not the religious parts, have turned, of course, once again to the private sector, where they have separate contracts, which we call prenuptial agreements, entirely run outside of the bounds of any kind of marriage, of any kind of marriage license or whatever. Just a contract run by people who are paid for by the actual clients and try to make a contract that works. See, marriage equality is really just a first step. The real, it's a first step to marriage freedom. And marriage freedom to me means the government completely out of marriage. The government saying, listen, you as adults who have more knowledge of yourselves than anyone else possibly could can make whatever decision that you see fit. And if that means that two men get married, great. If it means five men and six women get married, fine. That has nothing to do with anyone other than the people in the marriage. Marriage freedom is something that in every single way will also lead, in my opinion, to marital innovation, just like freedom leads to innovation in every other area. And what I mean by marital innovation is stuff we've already seen. We've already seen that as culture changes, we've added things like prenuptial agreements and things like that to make it work better. And let the private sector, let individuals figure out what kind of marriage works best for them. Don't force people into some kind of mold that somebody made up, and it's not even an ancient mold. When George and Martha Washington got married, one of the many things that they didn't have was a marriage license. You don't need the government involved in any kind of marriage to make it legitimate. Some of the other big political news this week has actually come out of Congress with the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. Now, they're going to pass it off as free trade. They're going to say, listen, we're having free trade finally coming, because they know that anyone that knows anything about economics knows that real free trade is always a good thing. But let me tell you this. This isn't free trade. This is crony capitalism masquerading as free trade. This is a set of agreements designed to protect the most politically connected corporations. Let's look at a simple example, the pharmaceutical industry. Right now, there is a reason why healthcare costs are so high. And that is because the United States government enables the pharmaceutical industry to charge as much as they want. And I don't mean permission. I mean, if you want to charge $10 billion for a medicine, that's your right. If you made the medicine, charge whatever you want. But recognize that if you charge a price that no one can afford, you're probably not going to make that much money. Now, the first step of this, of course, was Bush's Medicare Part D, where he said, listen, no matter how much you charge drug companies, no matter how high you artificially inflate your prices, no matter how ridiculous your rates are, no matter how much you ignore the laws of economics, no matter how obtuse you are with respect to actual prices, we are going to take money from American people and give it to you. And if you want to charge $40,000 a pill, so be it. We'll steal money and we'll give it to you. And the obvious result was that instead of drug prices going down in the same way that prices on things like iPhones go down, the way that prices of computers go down, the way the price of everything else on earth goes down, drug prices, which are purely technology, just like a computer, those prices keep going up. Something like that can only happen when it's enabled by the government. Now, there was a threat to this monopoly, which is that people were just buying drugs from other countries and just having them mailed to America. And some of them might have been taking a small risk, but not really that big a risk, because they were often imported from, you know, terrifying countries like Canada. But they were making their own decision. And now here's what drug companies have done. They've piggybacked onto a good concept, which is free trade. They've said, in order to have a tiny bit of free trade, we need all these protectionisms. That means whatever country you're in, you got to buy these brand name drugs from us. We're not going to sell them based on the laws of supply and demand. No, no, no. We're going to sell them however we want. And now you need to pay for it. And you need to have your government pay for it. And if they can't, well, maybe you can get the American government to pay for it. Because Lord knows, American companies love getting the American government to buy American, you know, those products in other countries. Whether it's companies that are building things in other countries like Halliburton, who tricked the American government into buying their products in a different part of the world, or today or tomorrow it'll be drug companies trying to get the American government to do the same. The correct thing to do in this case is not fake free trade. It's real free trade. And let me tell you what real free trade looks like. You take all your tariffs. You take all your sanctions. You take all your border protectionisms and you get rid of them. Your first step of free trade isn't worrying about what another country's doing. It's getting rid of the blockades on your own people. When we get rid of tariffs, that means Americans can buy things at lower costs. That means American businesses can buy things for a lower cost. That means instead of having to spend $10,000 on light bulbs, maybe they're going to spend $1,000 on light bulbs. And that's another $9,000 they can be using for your salary. That means that a food company, instead of spending $200 for a pound for a certain amount of sugar, can spend $100 for that certain amount of sugar. So you pay less money. And that means you can buy better quality food. That means you have extra money to spend on education and arts and charities and whatever you want to. If we get rid of some border protectionism on electronics, that means you have to spend less money on electronics. It means your company has to spend less money on electronics. And that's more money that your company has that it can use towards your salary. It means both the available money and the purchasing power of that money both increase. Real free trade doesn't involve agreements with anybody else. All it means is you just get rid of tariffs and you end sanctions and you let the free market do what it does best, which is lower costs and make connections between different countries. Now, if that sounds good to you, if it sounds good to you that you want to have free trade, the real thing, not this fake thing, if you want to have lower costs, if you want to have more jobs and better jobs, then you can't just wait around for that to happen, and you certainly can't wait for the Democrats and Republicans to do it, because I guarantee you they never will. You need to stand up, and you need to take actions on your own behalf. This is something that no one can do but you. And if you're ready to make that commitment today, if you're ready to make the biggest contribution you can to the cause of liberty, go to lp.org/states and find out how you can volunteer or even donate to the Libertarian Party. And if you want to do that, here's some of the things that you might do. You might get involved in recruiting members and candidates. You might be involved in social media. In fact, you might even decide to run for office. But that first step is going to lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America presents a new kind of health awareness talk show, the Sharon Kleina Hour, Health, Environment, and the Power of Water. Show host Sharon Kleina interviews leading scientists to discover how each of us can become proactive in protecting our personal health environment in an increasingly unhealthy world. Every show offers new information that could save your life. The Sharon Kleina Hour is health from an environmental perspective, your ultimate source for a personal environmental lifestyle. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel and Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
This
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. One of the biggest pieces of news this week was Obamacare being upheld by the Supreme Court, in fact, being slightly expanded. Now, that doesn't come as necessarily any huge surprise, but it does come as a disappointment because this is going to hurt every single American that has any relationship of any kind with healthcare. If you have ever been sick or think you ever might be sick, it's going to hurt you. And the ways it's going to hurt you, there's two ways it's going to hurt you. The first way is it's going to cost more. Everything is going to be more expensive because everything has now been protected from any kind of price pressure. There's no reason whatsoever for any drug company, any medical provider of any kind to lower their costs. But it's also going to hurt quality. Obamacare hurts quality because it makes it impossible for quality to compete. Now, I want to talk about not just the faults of Obamacare, because we know all of them. We know that Obamacare is bad, but I want to talk about what are the steps that we can take to make things good. How do we get the kind of low-cost, affordable healthcare that we used to have in America? Even when technology was simpler and technology hadn't had the chance to drive down the cost of so many things. I mean, technology's driven down the cost of everything else. And with something like healthcare, it would have done the same, but it couldn't because we allowed corporate interests and union interests like the American Medical Association to artificially inflate the price of medicine. But we can turn that around. It's not hard to turn that around. And there's a few simple things that we can do today. We can do it right now. We can start lobbying for this right now, and it's something, it's a change that won't even cost any money, and it will change everything in American healthcare. The first thing we need to do is get rid of all these protections. The AMA, the American Medical Association, has lobbied hard to prevent doctors from Japan, Korea, Germany, England, Canada from practicing medicine in the United States. And that's insane. What's more insane is that it worked. The United States Congress has continued to allow this insane policy to stand. This policy that says that, listen, if you're a doctor from Germany and you've been practicing orthopedic surgery for the last 25 years, if you are the head of the orthopedic surgery department in the biggest hospital in Germany, and if you want to practice orthopedic surgery in America, you can't. That's what they've done. They've literally gotten rid of their competition. And I say the first step, the absolute first step to making American medical, to making American medical services and American healthcare the best in the world is to get rid of that restriction. To say the only person that decides whether or not you're allowed to practice medicine on that person is the patient. No one else has any say. If that patient wants to go to that doctor, that's the choice of that patient and no one else. And that's the first step, but it's not the only step. Right now, we have a bottleneck of a shortage of doctors, but the question is, where's the bottleneck? Where's the restriction? Why do we have so few doctors that are skilled? And I'll tell you why. It's because, once again, the AMA has found a clever way to reduce the total number of doctors. And here's what they've done. They've first finagled Medicare into paying all salaries of all residents. That means if you go to a hospital and you're seen by a resident, by a chief resident, whatever, you know, that person's salary is paid for entirely by the taxpayer. That's ridiculous. I mean, those residents bring in often tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit for that, for the hospital. The hospital can and should be paying for that by themselves, but they don't. The result of this has been very interesting. Now that hospitals have bought into the system, they no longer pay for their own residencies. And that means that the number of available residencies is extremely low. Let's say that tomorrow, or forget tomorrow, let's say that today, we got rid of that rule entirely. And we said, listen, if you're a hospital, you pay for your own residents. You pay their salaries, just like you pay a nurse's salary, just like you pay the salaries of the of the orderlies, just like you pay the salaries of the administrators, you also pay the salaries of the residents. That's only reasonable. Well, then hospitals would just, through supply and demand, just give as many residencies as they saw fit. The total number of residencies would increase, the total number of doctors would increase, and the artificially inflated cost of medicine would go down. And now the final piece of the puzzle to lowering healthcare costs is to do the exact opposite of the TPP. And that is to allow real free market healthcare to happen in the drug industry. How does that work? Right now, you're not allowed to import a medicine from another country. Simply can't do it. If you want to buy a medicine from Canada, you're not allowed to do it. Now, the result is that we've now turned so many of America's elderly into drug smugglers who go to other countries and smuggle back medicines in their suitcase. But if instead we just got rid of those border protections, you know what the result would be? That now you would have international pricing for drugs, for medicines. And that means the entire cost of drugs for the entire country would go down. We would all be paying less. And that means our healthcare premiums would be lower, that our health insurance premiums would be far lower, our healthcare costs would be lower. Whatever we would have to pay would be a tiny fraction of what we're paying right now. And it would all come from just basic free market principles. Now, if you're ready to make something like that happen, you got to take those steps. And the first step is to go to lp.org/states. Get in contact with your state chair and tell them, listen, I want to lower healthcare costs for myself and I want to lower healthcare costs for my friends and neighbors. And I want to lower healthcare costs for strangers that I've never even met because there's no reason that a single person on earth should have to pay these inflated fees for healthcare. I want to make it legal for people to buy just high deductible insurance and pay for everything else out of pocket. I want to make it legal for doctors who are experts from places like Germany and Japan and England. I want them to be able to come here and practice. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to. I want to make sure that people can buy drugs from other countries if they want to. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to. It's their body. It's their choice. I want to make that happen. And I'm not going to wait for the Democrats and Republicans to do it because as sure as I know anything, I know they never will. And if you're ready to do that, go to lp.org/states and get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. You might work on social media. You might go door to door. You might work at an outreach booth. And in fact, you might make the single biggest contribution to the cause of liberty that you possibly can, and you might decide to run for office. And if you're ready to do that, just go to lp.org/states. Thanks for listening today. I'm Arvind Vohra, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvind Vohra again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.